We begin the current daf in Masechta Yuma, daf Samach Beis. We begin on the bottom of Samach Aleph and Beis, two lines up from the bottom of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion of our Mishnah on daf Samach. And that is, the Gemara asks the following question. Rav asks from Nachman the following question. He says, Kama Seir Mishalech? How many Seirim do you end up sending? Now, as Rashi explains, we explained in the Mishnah that if, let's say, the blood of the Sar spills out after you had already concluded the Avoidus in the Kutcha Kutchum, that is, there's three different phases to the bloods of the Seir and the Par that are brought inside the Kutcha Kutchum, then into the by the Heichel, which is on the Perechas, then on the Mizbeach Hazav. So therefore, our Mishnah had explained that if, let's say, the blood spill out in the middle of an avodah that you're doing, so then you have to go ahead and restart it, start from the beginning and do that again. However, we said if, let's say, it spilled out after you had concluded the avodah sapnim, after you did the achas lamala, shavan lamata, in the kajra kajim, and then you have to bring a second one and do another lottery, and then bring the one of shalshem, and do that for the matanas, the avodah, the zrikas by the pareches, and then the blood spills out again after you concluded the Achas Lamala and Shavah Lamata towards the Parechas, then you have to bring another two animals, another two Seirim, do another lottery, and then you have to slaughter the one that's Lashem, and then use those bloods and put it on the Mizbeach. So basically the Gemara's question is, so you utilized three Seirim Lashem, but the problem is every time the blood spilled out, you had to bring another two animals, because you have to do a hagrol, you have to do a lottery, as the coming parak will illustrate that halach in greater detail regarding these two se'irim. But you have to bring them again, because you can't just bring another one, you have to bring two. And then one goes lashem and one goes lazazel. So now you used up the three lashems, because you used one for the ones that's inside the kutcha kutchum. Then the blood spilled out, you brought another one now for the ones of the parechas. Then those spilled out after you had concluded that one, then you brought another one for the mezbech hazav. So you use those three karbanos, but now what do you do with three lazuzels that you have? And that's the question that Rav was asking Rav Nachman, how many seirim do we send to be the sar lazuzel? We have three to choose from. So on that, Omaleis, Rav Nachman responded to Rabba, B'chiedra mishalech, is he going to send his whole herd? And that is, the Torah requires to send only one lazuzel. And therefore, what's your question? We're not going to send all three lazuzel. So Omaleis, Rav responded to Rav Nachman, he said, and then we continue to tapas samach beza menalf. B'chi edri sairif, what do you mean? Do you burn the whole herd? And what Rav was responding to Rav Nachman was, according to the logic that you're saying, but do you think we have to burn the whole herd? And the halacha, however, was said in our Mishnah that all the ones Lashem are burnt abeis hadeshin in the place where you take out the parim hanisraf and those which were brought inside, including the par and the sar of the Yom Kippurim, you go ahead and you bring it outside and you burn it. Now, therefore, we see that the sar Lashem are burnt inside. So what are you saying, that we don't send all three lazazel because the Torah only requires one? Yes, the Torah only requires one to be brought also the sar Lashem. However, because of the circumstances that they spilled out every time after you concluded one of the three phases, so you had to end up bringing three sar Lashems, now we burn all three of those, the animals, al beis hadeshen, outside of the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, what would be the difference between the Sar Lashem and Sar Lazazel? Just like generally you're right, we don't only need one, but now it's three, there also maybe we'll send all three Lazazel. However, on that, he responded, Midam, he says, no, is it the same? Hasam loik siv oisai. There by the Sar Lashem, it doesn't say oisai in the singular. Hachak siv oisai, here by the Lazazel, it says, L'shalech oisai Lazazel, apasuk v'yikar tezayin. And therefore, you can't compare it, and that's why it would be only one that you would be sending lazuzel, although we have three to choose from, because every time it's spilled out, we have to bring another two to choose from, and then bring the one Lashem, slaughter it, and get a new blood to be able to finish off the next phase, and then the next phase in Bechazav, and you're going to be burning all of them individually by where it's always burnt outside of the Machna. However, for Azazel, although we have three to choose from, only one of them is going to be sent lazuzel. So now, based on that halacha, now that we know that although we said that we used three of those for Lashem, and now we have three counterparts that we have for Azazel, we only send one. There's a machlekes in the Gemara, which one of those three itmar we learned. Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava Amar, he says, Rishon Mishalech. The first one is the one that we had originally had. And that is, again, we do the lottery. And that's part of the phase of the Bigdei Lavan, that there's two of them out in the northeastern part of the Azara. We have two that look the same, and we're going to discuss this in the coming parak. Now, we took one Lashem and one Lazuzel, so we have them waiting to send them away. However, that's only done after the bloods are poured in the Kadjei Kadshim, then by the Pareches, and the Mizbech Hazav. But after the ones of the Kadjei Kadshim were completed, the blood spilled out. So we have to bring a new animal. Now, the animal cannot come individually. It has to come in through the process of two of the same and then do a lottery. So then you have another one that's slaughtered Lashem, which then used the blood. And then you have another one, Lazazel, and then again. So again, we said we have three of them. However, on that we have Machlikas. Rav Papi says in the name of Rava that the first one that's used, that was brought, that's the one that's going to be brought Lazazel. So that was the first one that was designated. However, Rav Shimi Mishmei Rava Amar, he has a different version in Rava that he says, Achrin Mishalech. And he says it's the last one from all the three. So therefore, when you came to Mizbeach HaZav, which was the third one, after you spilled it out twice, from the after the Kachi Kachim, after the Pareches, and I come to Mizbeach HaZav, that one is the last one. That's the one that sent Lazazel. And again, this was Rava who had asked this question from Rav Nachman, who they had concluded that it's going to be one. Now there's a machlekes in what Rava held, which one is that one? So now the Gemara asks, Bishlam Rav Shimi Mishmei de Rava de Amar Acher Mishaleach. We could understand his opinion in the name of Rava. That's the last one that you send to Lazazel, because Ksaver he holds Hailav Gama by Kaparim. That was the conclusion of the atonement. Everything goes according to the conclusion, and therefore, since that's the last part of the process, that's where we left off. So that's going to be the one that's going to be sent Lazazel. El Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava Ma'akasava. What does he hold? Why would we send the first one? Why is that one more significant than any other one, especially in contrast to the last one? So now the Gemara says Sabla Kreb Yasi. He holds a Kreb Yasi Da'ama Mitzvah Berishon that we find elsewhere. The Kreb Yasi tells us that the first one that's available, that one is the more preferred one, and therefore here, since the first one that was available for Azazel was the first one that was brought with the original one, that's the one we're going to send. So the Gemara asks, "Hi, Rabbi Yasi, which Rabbi Yasi are you referring to that says this concept that it's the first one that's preferable?" Elam Rabbi Yasi de Kupois. If you're going to say what Rabbi Yasi says regarding the different baskets, now this in context of the Shkolim, it's not like we learned the Mishnah Masech the Shkolim that says Shalish Kupois. There were three boxes, Shal Shalish Shalish Soin, that each box contained three soin. Shebehem Terminus Alishka, which with these baskets they would take what's called the Trumas Alishka. That there was a certain lishka, there was a chamber where they put all the shkolim that everyone brought in the month of Adar, the machza shekel, and then the gizber, the one that was in charge, would fill up these three baskets with truma, which meant to say they would take the coins and fill it up, these three baskets, by the three times of the year when they would do a trumas alishka, to purchase from them the karban tzibur, for example, the karban tamid and the karban musif. So this was done three times a year, and every time that it was done, there was three boxes. Each box, each basket was able to have a carry three sign of these coins, of the machza shekel coins. Now, b'hoyu kasav aleim aleph beis gimel. Now, on the coins, on the baskets were written 1, 2, and 3. It was written in aleph, beis, and gimel. Now, v'tanya learn the b'raisa. Amar Rabbi Yosi says, lama kasav aleim aleph beis gimel. We understand we were taking off 9 sign of coins. Three boxes, and each box had three sign. Now the question is, but why did it have to be numbered Aleph, Beis, Gimel? So that basically tells us, Leida Eiz Mehen Nitcher Marishon, because to know which is the box, which is the basket that was filled first, there's three baskets we're filling, but you have to do in a linear fashion to fill it up. So we want to know which one is the basket that was filled first, Lehevi Hemen Arishon, so that we could bring and purchase the karbanos from that basket first, shemitzvah berishon, because the mitzvah is with the first one. There's something with the rishis, the first, that's more preferred. And therefore, this would be the source. But this opinion that says it's the first azazel that's utilized, because it was the first one that was designated. And that the Gemara asks, but maybe you can't compare that to that halacha of Rabbi Yasi. Because Dilma, maybe, be'idna dis chazoi kamaisa, at the time when the first one was fit, and that is the first basket that was filled up, was immediately able, hypothetically, theoretically, to be able to be utilized to then go ahead and purchase karbanos, because it was already the trumas halishka, it's already filled up this basket, you could quickly go ahead to the store and buy the animals for the karban tamid and musaf. And at that time, lo yis chazoi basraisa, the last baskets were not fit yet, because the first basket was filled at a time when the second one and the third one was not filled yet. And therefore, that it would say that, yes, it's preferred because it had a certain preferential in the sense that it was already fit before the other ones. However, as Rashi explains, by the Sa'ir Lazazels, the first Sa'ir, the first he-goat, which was the first peer of the Sar Lashem, which was waiting to then be sent off until they finished all the Avodas, it's not fit to be sent until all the avodas of the bloods of the other sar, its counterpart, the sar Lashem, are placed in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's only when you finish the Echad Lamala Shav Lamata in the Kachar Kachar, then the second phase of the ones towards the Pareches, then the third phase of the Mizbech HaZav. Now, but at that point, when it's finally fit, all three of them were already waiting in the wing because you already had to bring a new one for the Perichas, a new one for Mizbech Azav. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, how could you compare it to Rabbi Yisrael's halacha? Rabbi Yisrael's halacha is that it was fit before the other ones. Yes, then you send it. But here, it's not any more fit, any more row than the other two because they all become fit at the same time when the Avodas HaPanim are finished. And then by that point, all three are waiting. So therefore, the Gemara says, Ella, rather Rabbi Yisrael the Pesach. The source for this idea is with the Rabbi Yisrael Halacha by the Karban Pesach, where you see this idea that even if they become fit at the same time, still would prefer the first. The Tanya, like, learned the Braisa. It says, Hamafrish Pischei V'Avin. If someone separates, he designates, this is going to be my Karban Pesach, and it gets lost. Now, what does he do? He has to bring a Karban Pesach. So, V'Hifrish Acher Tachtam. So, he separates and he designates another one in place that he lost it. He has to bring a new one. V'Yachakach Nimtza Rishon. But then he finds the original. Here he is. He has two Karban Pesachs. Now, as Rashi explains, this was said whether it was before midday of the 14th, which is when it becomes fit, or even after midday. Now, Vaharishnein Oimdim, the Braisa says. Now, they're both standing. So, the first opinion, the Braisa says, Ezimen Shiyir Tziyakrav, whichever one you want to bring, you could bring. Divri Chacham, the Chacham hold, it doesn't make a difference. They're both, at the same time, they're both going to be viable for the same Karban Pesach. And then you could choose. Rabbi Yisi Oimer, he says, Mitzvah Barishon. He says the mitzvah is to bring the first one. Now, as Rashi explains, even though the second one, which was the one that we separated to take the place of the first one, which was lost, was separated before midday. Now, when midday comes, that's the time when you can't bring a Karban Pesach before midday on the 14th of Nisan. Now, therefore, they're both becoming viable at the same time. Because as long as it doesn't reach the time of Shechitas HaPesach, which is midday, even the first one that was separated wasn't viable. And yet, still, Rabbi Yisi tells us that it's a mitzvah barishon. And then he concludes, however, v'im ha yisheni muvchemin. However, if the second one that you had separated because you lost the first one was better, then you should bring the second one. However, if not for that factor, we say you bring the first one, and therefore we see that this is the same idea that was being said in that opinion of Rava, just like Rabbi Yisi says, that the first one that was separated was the one that we prefer, even though it's not going to have any more ro'u in the sense of in contrast to the other two azazels, because they all become fit at the same time when you finish the avoidus. But that you see by Rabbi Yisi, same thing by the Karban Pesach. Even though both of these two Karban Pesachs become ro'u at the same time by midday and they're both standing here, still we prefer the first one that was designated. That's the same thing that we have by our case of the Sar Lazazel, that we not bring all three of them, as it says Oisai, in contrast to the three Lashem that you're going to burn outside. However, we had a machlekes, is it the last one, because that's the conclusion of the kapara, or is it the first one, as we find Rabbi Yisi, we prefer the first, even though it doesn't have any more preferential in the sense of being ro before, to be chazi before the other ones. Hadnu lochetziuloi, we shall return to you, perikotziuloi, the fifth perik, in Masechtas Yuma. Now we begin the sixth perik, perik shnei si'iri. Now as the name of the perik says, we're going to be elucidating and illustrating in greater detail this halacha that we had spoken about already, that it was an earlier part of the process of this day of Yom Kippur, which our Masechta talks about, which is these two he-goats which are chosen, and then there's a lottery which one goes Lashem, which its blood is brought inside the Kach HaKachim, the holiest place, the holiest day by the holiest person, and the other one, which we're going to see is exactly the same, goes to the other extreme, goes to the Azazel, it's thrown off the cliff and it falls into different pieces. So the Mishnah begins. Shnei Si'iri Yom Kippurim. We have the two he-goats of Yom Kippurim that we said that are chosen to be have a lottery done with them. Mitzvasan Shiyu Shneim Shavin. So the mitzvah is that they should both be the same. And that is both Bimara, in appearance, that is, they should both be white or black or gray. Uvukayma and in height. Uvudamim and in money, in value. So they should be almost, they should be exactly the same. And they should also be purchased at the same time. However, the Mishnah does tell us, even if they're not the same, then they're still valid. And also, and even if it was one purchased today and the other one purchased the following day, it also will still be valid. So although that's a preferential halacha, however, b'diyavid, it will be kosher even if it's not the same and even if it wasn't purchased at the same time. Now, the Mishnah tells us the following halacha. Mis echad mehem. Let's say one of them died. So we have these, they're in some level bound together in the way they're brought, and then we say they have to be the same, and then they have to be purchased at the same time, and then we make a lottery. So let's say one of them dies. So the Mishnah tells us it depends when one of them dies. Im achalahigul meis, if one of them died before they did the lottery, so then yikach zug l'sheni, then you just take a second one to pair up with that first one, because nothing was activated regarding them yet to decide and define each one's role. You just have two he-goats. So when them died, bring another one. However, if the lottery was already done, one was Lashem, one's Lazazel, and then one of them dies. So then Yavi Zug Acher. Then you have to bring not just another one to complement the other one that's still around, you have to bring a new peer. The Yagra Lalem Betchila. And then you have to go ahead and do a new lottery on the second peer. The Yerman, then he says as follows. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Imshal Sheimes, if the one that died was the one Lashem, then he says, Zesh Sha'Allah Love Hagar Lashem. So this one, now I'm doing a new lottery. So the one that's going to be Lashem, Yiskaim Tachtav, will take the place of the original one that was supposed to be Lashem, which died. Bimshel Azazel Meis. Then the Mishnah tells us if the one of Lazazel was the one that died. So there, Sha'Allah Love Hagar Lazazel, Yiskaim Tachtav. Then he says that the one now with the lottery that's going to come at Lazazel should take the place of the original Lazazel, which died. Now, the Mishnah tells us, Vahasheni, and the second one. Now, the Gemara will tell us which one is the second one. Are we talking about the second one of the second peer or the second one of the first peer? And that is means to say there was one that died, whichever one that is, and then when we do the second lottery, we say that let it take the place of that one that died. But then there's still the other one that's still alive. Now, that second one, Yira Achi Yistayv, should graze until it develops a blemish. The Yimacher, and then you sell it. The Yiplu Damal of Lenadava, and then its money goes to a nedava, to an offering, to a donative offering. Now, as Rashi explains, in other words, if the one Lazazel, let's say, died, now, when we do a whole new lottery, we bring a new peer, so we take one of Lazazel that fills the place of that Azazel, but now we have two Lashems. We have the original Lashem, and we have a new Lashem. So one of them we have from the first peer, one from the second peer, so one of them are going to be brought as an atonement, and the second one will go out to graze. Same thing in the other way. Let's say if the one Lashem is the one that died, so now we have two of them Lazazel, so one will be sent and one will go to graze, and that's what our Gemara will explain, which second one is the one that goes to graze and which one is the one that's actually brought. Do we maintain the first one Lashem, let's say, when Lazazel dies, so the first one Lashem is the one that's brought and the second Lashem goes at the graze? Or do we say that no, the second peer, which that Lazazel is taking over that first one, that Lashem is brought Lashem, and the first one is the one that goes at the graze? And that Gemara will explain that halacha. However, either way, the Mishnah tells us that the reason why that it's the second one, whichever one that is the one that goes out, it goes out to graze and develops a blemish, and then it's sold for nedava type of karbanas, is the reason she'in chatas tzibur mesa, because a chatas of the tzibur, of the public, does not go out to die. And that is, the Mishnah is forewarning a question. Because generally there's halacha of chamesh chatois mesas, there's five types of karban chatas that die. And one of them is when there's niskapru ba'aleha, when the owners have a kapar, an atonement from elsewhere. And therefore, the other one, let's say when there's two Lashems left, so one is going to be the atonement, so the second one should not go out to graze, but rather should die. And that is what Rashi explains, that halacha was only said by a karban yachid, a chatas of an individual. And the Gemara explains in Masechtas Harayos and Masechtas Temura that the reason for this is because all five of these halacha Meshach Messina is that the chatas goes out to die, they have to be by the same area of application. And that is, therefore the Gemara there says, just like by a child of a chatas, and the temur of a chatas, and the chatas where the owners die is not feasible by the tzibur, because the tzibur cannot totally die, so too, a chatas, even if you have kippur bahalel, even though that is feasible by the tzibur, where they could have an atonement by another one, like in our case, where they're having it by the other Lashem and not by this Lashem, however, this halacha of chatas, shemes of kippur bahalel, will not apply to them, because it has to be only where all five areas would apply, and that doesn't apply by the tzibur, and therefore that's what the Mishnah tells us, she'in chatas tzibur mesa, and therefore, instead of dying as it normally would be by an individual, she kippur bahalel has an atonement elsewhere, here it's going to go out to develop a blemish and be sold as and then the money will be used to purchase nedava offerings on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Thomas, he says that it does die. Now the Mishnah concludes by saying, V'oida Amr Yehuda, and moreover Rabbi Yehuda says, which the Gemara will wonder what is it exactly that he's adding on. However, he says, Nishpach Adam, if let's say the blood of the Lashem, that's the only one that you have blood for, because there's the two Seirim, Sar Lazazel is not slaughtered and its blood brought, it's just thrown off the cliff. So if the blood of Lashem is spilled out, then Yamas HaMishtalech, then the one that was supposed to be sent away, he also dies. And then he brings another two, and then he'll do a whole new lottery because you can't maintain the original one. So if, let's say, the original pair, something happens to one of them in this context, where the blood spills out of Lashem, so you're going to have to bring a whole new Lashem. So he says, the one that's supposed to be sent away of Lazazel also gets killed. And the same thing the other way. If Mesa Mishtalech, let's say the one that was supposed to be sent away, dies, then you shafech adam, then you spill out the blood because you can't have one without the other. They are both integral components to each other, Rabbi Yehuda says, and therefore if one thing happens to one, the other one cannot be used, and you have to bring a whole new pair and bring a new Lashem and a new Lazazel. Now we get into the Gemara on Amud Beis. So the Gemara will explain this halacha that our Mishnah introduced in the beginning, that they have to be the same in their appearance, in their height, and in their value. So Tarmban learned in the Braisa, there's a pasuk of a Yikra that says regarding this halacha of taking these two se'irim, one which goes Lashem, which one goes Lazazel, says Yikach Shnei Se'iri Izim. He should take two he-goats, and that, again, one should be used Lashem, and one then will be used Lazazel. So the Braisa says, Mi'it Se'iri Shnayim, the pasuk says the word Se'iri. Now, Se'iri is plural. Now, the minimum of plural is two. So Matam Alam Shnei, what's the pasuk teaching when it says two he-goats? If it would have just said Yikach Se'iri Izim, I would know it means two. Why does it say Shnei? Because Se'iri is plural, and we know the minimum that we always go with is two. So that the Braisa says, Shiyu Shnei Meshavim. The reason why it says Shnei is to say that they're two. It's not two individuals. It's rather, it's a unit of two, to say that they should both be the same. And that is as we explained in the Mishnah. Now, Minayin Af Pishein Shnei Meshavim Kishem. How would we know, however, like our Mishnah did say, that if they're not the same, that they're still valid? Tamalim, that's what the Pasuk teaches in other Pesukim. It says Sa'ir in one Pasuk, it says Sa'ir in another Pasuk. Reba, that comes to include where here we're saying in individually. Sa'ir, it's used individually. And that's what we're coming to say, that even if they are their own types and not sharing the same characteristics as the other one, it will still be valid. Now the Gemara asks, Time of the Rabbi Rahmana, it sounds like the way the Bryce is explaining, that that it's because the Torah includes that's why you say that there's an extra rebar to say that, oh, it will be valid if it's not going to be the same. But Haloi Rabbi Rahmana, however, it sounds like if the Torah would not have included by saying Sa'ir Sa'ir, having made an absulim, I would have thought to say that it's actually invalid if it's not the same. On that, the Gemara asks, Ikuvim Inalan, from where do we know that there's this withholding factor? And that is, if it's, as Rashi says, because it says Chukah, now generally Chukah connotes that it's Ma'akiv, it has to be exactly as it said. Now, however, whether according to Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Nechemiah, as we had learned in previous daf, that there is an equal regarding the Avodas Yom Kippurim, that's only regarding the Avodah component, the actual service in the Beis HaMikdash on that day of Yom Kippurim, just they argue regarding which component of the Big Day Lovin. However, no one says regarding the purchasing, which was done yesterday, the day before, that wasn't something that's being done on Yom Kippurim itself, and therefore Chukah does not apply to the purchasing, that which is that you should purchase each one looking the same and all the different characteristics. So from where would we have thought, yes, the Torah tells us that it should be like that, but where would I have thought that if it's not done, that it's mi'akiv? And that the Gemara explains, Sogadai Dechamina, I would have thought to say, because it doesn't say the word Shnei just one time. It says Shnei one pasuk, Shnei in another pasuk, Shnei in another pasuk, Siv. So it says three times in the Torah. Now, why is the Torah repeating so many times that it has to be Shnei, which we said the term Shnei is telling you that it's one unit of two, that they should be the same? Because that's generally the concept of Shana Lavakas of Le'akiv. When the Torah repeats something, it's repeating it to say that it's Me'akiv, that it will withhold validity if it's not done exactly how it's written over here. And therefore, I would have thought that actually it's going to be Pasul. That's what we need the Torah to tell you. Sa'ir Sa'ir to be married, but to say that no, if it's not done, if it's done only in its own individualistic way, it's not the same as the other one, it will still be valid. Now the Gemara asks, now Bahash the Rabbi Rahman the Sa'ir Sa'ir, but now that the Torah does include that Sa'ir Sa'ir, even if it's not the same as the other one, that it will be valid, but then Shnei 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 Lomali, then what do I need? We said that, why does it repeat so many times? I would have thought to say that it's Mi'akiv. But no, we're saying it's not, and that's why we need Sa'ir Sa'ir. But so why do we say Shnei Shnei if it's not coming to tell us Mi'akiv, as we see from Sa'ir Sa'ir? So the Gemara explains that coming to say each term Shnei is coming to say another component of where we see that they're like one unit. However, that's only Le'mitzvah, not Li'akiv. And that is Chad Lamara, as our Mishnah said, one is for appearance, Chad L'Kaima, one is for height, Chad L'Dam, and one is for the money, for the value. And that's again, that's for the mitzvah. It's just detailing where they should be the same. We know they should be the same from Shnei, but it says it three times to say in these three different areas they should be the same. However, that's only a Ketchila, that's Lemitzu, but it's not Mi'akiv, and therefore, if one brings it not the same, as we see from Sar Sar, it will be Kashrut. Now the Gemara says a similar type of a brisa as we had regarding the Shnei Seirim of Yom Kippurim, similar halachas regarding other areas halacha. Tanya Mahachi Gabi Kivsi Mitzrayim. We learned a very similar brisa regarding the lambs that a Mitzrayim, someone that has a nega, that he brings these lambs. So we find a similar phenomenon that there's a pasuk in Yikra that says Yikach Shnei Kavasim. He should take two lambs. Now Mi Kavasim Shnayim. We know that the minimum amount of the plural term of kavasim of lambs is two. Now, matam lemishnei. So what is the pasuk teaching us when it says that you should take, the betzayir should bring two lambs? Well, we know lambs means two. Why say two? Sheyush neim shavim. That says that they should be the same. Now, the Braisa says, imnayin sha'afa pi she'ein shneim sham k'shem. How do you know, again, the similar type of a cheshvan, like we said regarding the two simar v'mikipurim, although it should be the same, how do we know it's valid if it's not? That's what the pasuk teaches you by the Mitzrayim, keves keves riba, where it says in the singular and it says it twice, keves keves, to say that each one could be its own type, not similar to the other. Now, so the question is, time of the Rabbi Rachmana. It's only because the Torah comes to include when they're not the same from the term of keves, halay Rabbi Rachmana. But if the Torah would not have included it, have made the psulim, it sounds like from the Brice, I would have thought it's actually going to be invalid even after the fact. And that the question is, from where do we see anywhere that there's a component not only of lemitzvah over here, which is something that we should try to do like that, but if it's not done, it's actually going to be ma'akib, it's going to withhold the validity. So that the Gemara explains, I would have thought to say, since it says in the Torah, zois tia, teres ha-mitzayra, this should be the halachas that reply to the mitzayra. Now the word tia always connotes that it should stay, it should remain, it should maintain its havaya, its existence, the way it always is, and that is in the context of this pasuk, means to say exactly how it's written in the Torah. This is how it should be, no other way, it shouldn't be any deviation. And therefore I would have thought to say that it will be possible if it's not exactly like the other one. So that's what comes to include when it says kevis kevis, to say that it will be kosher if it's not the same. Now then the question is, as again, similar to as we said regarding the logic of the Shnei Seirim Yom Kippurim, now v'hashta the Rabbi Rachmana kevis kevis, but now that we do have that inclusion of kevis kevis, that it will be kosher after the fact, and it's not me'akev, it's not the same. But then tia lamali, so why do I need the term tia, which that would sound like it is me'akev, but we're saying it's not me'akev, and that's why we needed to tell you it's not me'akev, so, but then what do we utilize the understanding of the term tia for? Now the Gemara answer is l'shar ha'v'yasa shal mitzera, that's the other processes of the mitzera, to say that they are me'akev. However, regarding this component of the halacha of the mitzera, that there's two kavasim have to be the same, that we're coming to include that they do not have to be the same after the fact, and it's only the other areas of halacha that is tia that should be and will be ma'akib. Similarly, the Gemara says again, v'tani nami gabe, and this is regarding the tzipore mitzayra ki ha'gabe. We're in a similar type of a brice regarding the birds that the mitzayra brings. And that is, it says in the Torah, tziparim, that the mitzayra should bring birds. Now, mi tziparim shtayim, the minimum amount of plural of birds are two. So what is the Torah teaching when it says tutziparim? So again, the Brisa says sheyishtein shavis, so that they should be equal, they should be the same. Now, minayin sh'af pishein shavis k'sheres. How do you know if the two birds that he brings are not the same, that are going to be valid? Tamalemet tzipur tzipur riba. That's what it says in the singular, and it says it twice, tzipur tzipur, to say that even if they're not the same, their own, their individualistic type of way, it will be valid. So then the question again is, time in the Rabbi Rachmana, the reason is because the Torah comes to include it with tzipur tzipur. Halay Rabbi Rachmana psulais. However, if we didn't have that rebo, I would have thought actually that this will be me'akiv, it will be invalidating. And that the Gemara's question is, ikuv menolim, where do you see that this halacha of shnei tziparim is not just a mitzvah, but that I would have thought it's even me'akiv, that I need a rebo to say it's not me'akiv? So that the Gemara explains, so kedai dechamino tiyeksiv. I would have thought to say, because it says in regarding to halachas of mitzayra, as we quoted that passage before, zois tia teres mitzayra, that this halacha that applies to mitzayra, which is a term that connotes ikuv, it should always be as we said. Therefore, that's what we needed, tzipur tzipur. Now the question is, v'hashtu the Rabbi Rachmana tzipur, now that the Torah includes tzipur, and it says it two times, so then tia lamali, then we're back to that question, what do we need tia for? That, like the Gemara said before, l'shar ha'v'yasa shal mitzayra, that's for the other processes of mitzayra. However, regarding these two components of the mitzayra, one regarding its kvasim and one regarding its siparim, there we say that the Torah is coming to include specifically that there it's not me'akiv if it's not exactly the same as the other one. Now, the Gemara asks the following question now. Now, ihachi, if it's like the logic that we just explained in these three different areas of halacha, where we said that wherever it says shnei, then it means to say that they should be one unit of two, which means to say that they should both be the same. We said it regarding our Mishnah of the two Sirim of Yom Kippurim. We said it regarding the two Kvasim of Mitzrayim, regarding the two Tziparim of Mitzrayim. But then the question is, then similarly regarding a Karban Tamid, you should also say the same thing. Name a Kvasim. You should say the following. We should have made such a Brisa, a similar Brisa. What should that Brisa have looked like? It should have been like this. It says in the Torah that you should bring Kvasim, lambs, for every single day, one in the morning, one in the evening. Now, meet Kvasim Shnayim. What's the minimum amount of the plural of kvasim of lambs? That's two. Namatam ala mishnayim. So what's the Torah teaching you when it says that they should be two? Sheyush neim shavim. Obviously, it's that they should both be the same. Now, then this Brisa would have continued and said, uminayin shavapi she'ein shneim shavim k'sherim. And how would I have known that if there's two tamidim that come every single day, one in the morning, one in the evening, if they're not the same, that it's valid? Tamalim keves keves riba. I would have said that, of course, no, because it says also regarding each one individually that it's keves, one in the morning, keves echad, in the morning, keves echad, in the evening, to say that the singular approach also applies to it, that after the fact, it will be valid and it will not be ma'akiv. That's what I should have said, the same type of halacha, like, because it has the same logic that we said regarding these other areas of halacha. Now, the question of the Gemara is, will the mitzvah hachinami de be'inon? Is it really true that there is such a mitzvah that the two carbon tamids that are brought every single day should be the same? We never learned such halacha regarding a carbon tamid. We don't find such a thing. So then the question is, but why not? The same logic that we said, it says shnayim, which now why to say two if we know two from the minimum of kvasim, must be that they should be the same, but if not, since it says keves keves, that they're going to be kasher, but we don't find such a liketchil de gedin for the carbon tamid. So that the Gemara answers, Hahumi boile, look at the Tanya. We need that term shnayim for a different halacha. That you're right, if we didn't have a utility for it, we would say that same logic. But it's not used for to tell us that it's one unit of two. They could be as different as night and day. However, it's necessary for a different halacha as we learned in the Brisa. It says in the Pasuk, shnayim layoim, two for the day. Now, we're going to really be explaining the term layoim, but we say shnayim so that it's part of the shnayim layoim. Now, the Brisa explains, what does it mean two for the day? It means keneged hayom. It means to say opposite the day, meaning where the sun is shining. Opposite that, where you're going to get the sunlight, that's where the carbon tamid should be brought, whether it's in the morning or whether in the evening. Now, the Brisa says, ata'imer keneged hayom, are you really going to say that when it means shnayim layom, two carbon tamids should be brought in that day? It means opposite where the day is, what part of the day it is, where the sun's shining in it. Maybe it just means the obligations of the day. And it's just telling you that you should bring two karma tamids every day, not to add a new component of halacha, that you have to have it opposite where that part, that time of the day it is, regards to sunlight. It just means shnayim layom, two every day, and that's the obligation, one in the morning, one in the evening. However, the Brisa says, you can't say that. Because kishu aimer, when the pasuk tells us, it already tells us, one lamb you should bring in the morning, and one lamb you should bring in the evening. It already tells us in the pasuk the obligation of bringing two every day. One in the morning, one at night. One plus one is two, we know that. So what do I need? What is the pasuk teaching me when it says two every day? It means to say that it should be opposite that location of where the day is at that time. Now, Kesed, how does that work out? What does that mean? It should be opposite where the day is. So the Brisa explains, and again, this is all going into the answering the question of why didn't we say the same halacha as our Mishnah and regarding the Mitzrayah, that we say Shnayim means to say they should be the same, and we don't find by Tamid it should be the same. It's just saying for Koshnayim LaYayim. We're saying that these two, that they do share this halacha regarding where in the day it is to tell us where we're going to be slaughtering that Karban Tamid, whether it's the Tamid Shel Shachar or the Tamid Shel Ben Abayim. Now, on that, the Brisa explains, Tamid Shel Shachar, the Tamid that was brought in the morning, Hayinishchat al Keren Tzfeinis Maravas. It was slaughtered on the northwestern corner of the Mizbech. And that is because in the morning, the sun is coming from the east. Therefore, we had to slaughter as much as possible the Karmat Tamid Shel Shachar towards the west, so that we could distance it as much as possible from the eastern wall that was there in the Beis HaMikdash as much as possible, because the walls were very high. Now, the sun in the morning is very low down in the sky, and therefore the shade of the wall would be blocking the carbon tamid, and we needed that the sun should be shining, should be in that area of where the carbon is, and since it's coming from the east very low down, we had to go as far towards the west as possible. So that's why it was in the west, so that we can get connected hayyim, where the sun is at that time of the day. Now, that's why it was in the west. Why was it in the north? That's because kachim kachim are supposed to be slaughtered, what's called a yerech hamizbeach, by the side of the mizbeach, on the northern part. And that's why it had to be in the north part. So that's why it was in the northwestern corner of the mizbeach. Now, in that area was where the slaughtering house was. And that's where there were these rings that were attached, they were connected to the ground, where they would put the head of the animal inside that ring to hold it down. Now, there were 24 of these rings, which correlated to the amount of mishmeiris that the different groups of Kohanim that were there each week. There was a cycle of 24 weeks in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, their place took up 24 amos by 24 amos, which were in an order of six rows of four rings, which those four rings were running from north to south, and there were six of these rows. So therefore, we would slaughter the morning carbon, Tamid Shel Shachar, on the northwestern corner. However, Al Tabas Shniyah, on the second ring, and that is not by the ring that was right by the corner of the Mizbeach, that is where the Mizbeach ended, going northward, that's where the rings would begin. So we didn't do the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach, the first ring there. Rather, it would be the second one towards the north. And then we had the face of the one who was slaughtering, and the neck of the animal would be diagonally towards the east, and because that's where the sun is coming from in the morning. And again, we wanted to get that it should be connected, Hayyam, where the sun is coming from. Now, Rashi says that the reason why they used the second ring, he doesn't really know, but he heard an explanation that because we needed the first ring to help and assist us to hold the legs of the animal so that it shouldn't move around, so that was the purpose of the rings themselves, which will hold down the neck on the ground. So that was the second ring holding down, and since it was facing towards the north, the first ring would be holding on the legs, so that's why they used it, or else they would have just used the first ring, which was closest to the northwestern corner of the Mizbeach. However, they used the second ring for that purpose. So that was in the morning. And the carbon tamid that was brought in the evening, where now the sun is in the west, therefore they would pull the carbon as much as possible to the east. So therefore, so it was slaughtered on the northeastern corner of the Mizbeach. Al Tabashnia, on the second ring, as we said, because the first ring was to hold the feet of the animal. Now, here the face was facing towards the west. And that's again to get the sun on that's coming from the western part. And that's because, as we explained, that we want to have it, that it's not chayves yayim, but rather it's telling us kineg hayayim. And that's the purpose of this pasuk, again, why it says shenayim layayim, to tell us that each one should be wherever the sun is coming from. In the morning, when it's coming from the east, you pull it all the way to the west. And again, it has to be in the north, because that's where kachem are. And then, towards the evening, when it's on the west, then we pull it all the way to the east. Now, the Braisa continues, musafin shel Shabbos. However, the carbon musaf of Shabbos, where there it says shnei chavasim, there it says that it should be two lambs, and that the Gemara says, Vaday tzrichin shiyu shnei shabbat. There, most definitely, they do have to be the same. And that is, the mitzvah is that they should be the same, because there, what's the term shnei teaching us? Must be that it is the same as the halacha we said regarding the two simurim kippurim and the kvasim and the tziparim of the mitzayra, which shnei teaches you that it's one unit of two, and therefore the two masafin of carbon Shabbos, they should be the same. However, we did answer the question why Tamid is different, although it says shnayim, because it's coming to teach you a different halacha, that they're both layoim in the direction facing that area of where the sun is shining at that point of the day. Now, related to this halacha that we're talking about in this parak of the two usirim of Yom Kippurim, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Turn up on Linda brisa. Shnei si'ir Yom Kippurim, these two he-goats that are brought in Yom Kippurim. Now, as Rashi explains, from when they're purchased, they automatically attain kedusha sanctity. And the reason is because the funds of the Trumas HaLishka are where these karbonis of the two usirim, since they're karbonis for the tzibur, are purchased with the Trumas HaLishka. So they already have the sanctity of kedusha of karbanis. And therefore, the Gemara says, Sheshach de machotz, if they were slaughtered outside of the Azara, so then it would depend when it is. However, we're already dealing with karbanis. Now, there's an isser of what's called shchut echot. You're not allowed to slaughter an animal outside of the Azara. However, depending when it is, there will be different ramifications. On that, the Brisa says as follows. Actually, Hikur Lalein, if the lottery was not done yet, you have these two he-goats, we're waiting for that part of the process where it takes time for the Kohen Gadol to get up to that. He first has to do the Tamid Shel Shachar with the Big Dizav, and then he only gets the Big Dizav, and then he does the video on his par between Ul Mizbech, and then he goes to do the lottery. So we didn't do the lottery yet. Now, he was slaughtered outside of the Azara. Before that, the Brisa says, Chayv Ashneim, so he's going to be liable for both of them because of this Issa of Shchut Eichutz. Now, the Gemara shortly will ask on this, that before the lottery is done, with what is these animals fit to be as karbanas inside the Beis HaMikdash? And that is, as Rashi explains, that since they're not fit, why would one be liable on what's called shchut echot? However, we know regarding to be liable for slaughtering karbanos outside is only if they're viable to be karbanos inside, which is called that they're fit to be in by the Pesach El Moed, as the Pasuk of Mikra Yitzayin says, regarding the transgression of Shchut Echutz, is only if Vel Pesach Oil Moed Lo Heviyu, the Torah says, you did not bring it into front of where the Oil Moed is. Wait, you didn't bring it in the Azara in front of the Heichal, which is where it should have been, and that's because it could have been, and instead you did it outside, then you Chayev. However, essentially before the Hagrola, before the lottery, neither one is fit for what? Because we didn't choose which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel, and that's an integral component. And therefore, the Gemara's question will be, so why would you be chayv on any of them? Because of Shchut Echutz, it's only if they're viable inside, and they're not viable inside yet. However, that's what the Braisa says. However, Mishahigul Alein, that was if it was done before the lottery was done, that you can be chayv for both them on Shchut Echutz. However, if the lottery was already done, so now one is Lashem, one is Lazazel, so then, chayv al shal shem, upatr al shal azazel. So the one that's Lashem, obviously it's fit for inside because you're supposed to actually bring the blood inside the kachet kachem. So if you slaughter that one now, after the lottery was done, you pull it outside and you do a slaughtering outside the azara, so you'll be chayv for shchut echot. However, you're going to be exempt on the azazel because the azazel is not fit to be done inside al pesach el moed. We don't do any slaughtering on it, we just throw it off the cliff, la azazel. And therefore, if one slaughters it outside, one will not be chayv for shchut echot because it's not viable inside to be chayv on shchut echot outside. Now the Gemara asked a question that we mentioned before. So we said in the Braisa, Ashrele Higul Alehem, if the lottery wasn't done yet, you have these two he-goats waiting, we don't know which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel, and he slaughters it, both of them, let's say, outside, Chayav Al-Sheshneim, he'll be liable for both of them for Shchut Eichutz. Now the Gemara asks, Lamai Chazu, what are they fit for? Neither one should be Chayav for, because the lottery wasn't done, and they're not viable for either one to be brought inside. And Shchut Eichutz is only if it's viable inside to be Chayav outside. So Rav Chizra says, "Hoil v'ro'u l'sar hanasa b'chutz." You're right. They're not fit to be brought inside as the sar l'Hashem. However, they're fit to be a different sar that's done in Yom Kippurim, the one that's done outside in the Azara. Each one could have been the carbon chattas of the musaf of Yom Kippurim, which are different carbon that's mentioned in Parashat Pinchas, which is also brought in Yom Kippurim, since they are viable inside in a different capacity. Of the sa'ir, of the different higo that's brought as one of the carbon musaf of Yom Kippurim, not of that integral sa'ir that's done inside the kachet kachem, which is called the sar l'Hashem. Not that one, you're right. Before the lottery, it cannot be that one. However, you're going to be chayv b'chutz on either one of them, even the one that's ultimately going to be lazazel, but now it's not yet, and it's a regular higot, which could be brought inside, and they already have kedusha anyway. Therefore, you're going to be chayv for shchut echutz on both of them because of that they could have been the sa'ir that's done outside in the azara, which is the carbon musaf of Yom Kippurim. Now, the Gemara asks on that answer, Umayishna l'sar hanasa b'finim d'loi. Now, why is it that you said that in relation to the sar that would be done inside, in other words, the one that's known as the sar l'Hashem, you're saying that if that was the only option that it could have been, let's say there was no sar of the musaf of Yom Kippurim. So then you say that he would not be chay for shchut echot, because it's not fit, because the mechusah hagrola, because we're still lacking the lottery. And if the lottery wasn't done, so it's not fit to be brought inside. So therefore, you wouldn't be liable for shchut echutz. Again, if we didn't have the sar hanasa b'chutz, the one of the Muslim Yom Kippurim. But that the Gemara asks, if that's the case, that's why you would be putter. If you only had the sar hanasa b'fnim, because it's not fit for that yet. But l'sar hanasa b'chutz, nami l'chazi. But even the answer that you gave, that it's fit to be the carbon musaf of Yom Kippurim, which is the one in Nazar, which it is fit for, it's also not fit for that yet either, the Mechasi Avoidus Hayayim, because we're still lacking the Avoidus of Yom Kippurim, and that is, we didn't yet do the other Avoidus, obviously, because if we're before the lottery, that means you obviously did not bring the bloods of the power of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. We didn't bring the Sar, which is the Sar L'Hashem, because the Sar L'Hashem is one of these two, which we didn't do the lottery in it yet. And we didn't do the handfuls of the Ketarias and the sacrificing of it. All these are supposed to be before the Karban Musaf. And we know that the order of the Avodah Yom Kippurim is integral. And therefore, how can you say that it is fit now to be Chayav and Shchut Echutz on these two Zeirim? Because they could have been the Karban Musaf of Yom Kippurim. They can't be the Karban Musaf of Yom Kippurim. Because the lottery on these two weren't done, which is way before. Which means that you didn't do all these processes yet. So how can you have brought this as a Karban Musaf? It's not fit to be a Karban Musaf yet. The time of it didn't reach yet. So that the Gemara answers, Ksav Rav Chizda holds, Ein mechus zman l'boy b'yom. There is no deficiency in time for the same day. And that is regarding its viability to be the Sar Hachitzan, the one of the Musar Yom Kippurim, that there's no chisarin, there's no deficiency in the animal itself. It's just a time lapse that has not yet reached, and that it's not time for the Karban Musaf. However, since it's that same day, that he doesn't hold, that's considered in the category of Mechus Zman. Mechus Zman is, let's say, it's not the day yet of when it's supposed to be, it's going to be only tomorrow. However, it's today viable, then we consider it as it's already Ro Bifnim, although yet the time didn't reach, but it's this day, and therefore one would be Chayav and Shechut Echutz for what's going on outside. Now, however, that stands in contrast to the Hagrola regarding the lottery, which, although it is the same day too, we said that it would not be Chayav because of what's viable inside, because you didn't do the lottery yet. That's because although the lottery is also not a mice, it's not a deficiency literally in the animal itself, because as Rashi says, we learned that although pulling out the lottery from the box is miyakiv, but you don't have to actually put it on the animal, so there's nothing deficient in the animal itself. Still, in spite of that, Rav Chisda considers it that since it's a mitzvah that pertains to the animal itself, which defines it, which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel, that would be considered like Mechusa Maisa, as if it is lacking a deficiency in the animal itself, and therefore it wouldn't be considered viable inside until you do the lottery. So that would be the difference between the case of the Sar Hanasa Befnim and the Sar Hanasa Bechutz. And that is based solely on if we only had the Sar Hanasa Befnim, one would be exempt on Shechut Echutz, because if you didn't do the lottery yet, we didn't define which one is the one that's going to be done inside. That is, Rav Chisda considers something lacking in the animal itself. Intrinsic to its definition, we don't know if it's Lashem or it's Lazazel, and therefore it's not viable inside, so therefore you wouldn't be chayv outside. However, in the case of the Musaf, Yom Kippurim, that it is viable right now, even though we have to wait for all those processes, but since that's only a deficiency in time, and it's, however, it's still this day, that would not be considered a deficiency, it is considered viable inside, and therefore we chayv of Shechut Echutz on both of the Seirim, even before the Geirul was done. Now, based on this, Rabina says, Hashad Am Rav Chisda, now that we saw this logic of Rav Chisda, that Mechusa Hagrolo, Ke Mechusa Maisa Dami, that lacking in the lottery is like a deficiency in the definition of the animal itself, and that is, as we said, although it's not an actual action in the animal itself, however, we said that if not for the Sar of the Karban Musaf, we would not be Chayav on Shechut Echutz, that is, because in relation to the Sar Lashem, we would say it's not considered Ro Bifnim. So Ravina wants to say the following chiddush in halacha. So this is based on that logic. So Hadam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, based on a different halacha that Shmuel says that shlamim sheshachdan koydim sheniftachu dalsa sehechel psulin. If one slaughters a carbon shlamim in the morning time before the gates were open of the hechel, then the carbon shlamim is going to be invalid. Shneimer, like it says a pasuk in Yikra, says ushchate pesach oil maid. You should slaughter the carbon in front of the opening of the oil maid. Which tells us, it says the term Pesach, Bizman Shu Pesuach, when the gates are open, V'le Bizman Shu No, but not at the time when it's closed. That was the halacha Shmuel said. If one slaughters it even inside the base of Megdash area, however, the gates of the Heichal are closed, one would be, it would be invalid, it would be a pasul carbon. Now, on that, the Gemara continues on the Tabas HaMachil Medal, so Ravina says, now based on putting those two halachas together, Shchatan Bachutz, Koidim Sheniftachu Dalsas HaHeichal Pater. I'm going to put together this Chiddush Rav Chisda for the halacha of Shmuel, that if one slaughters the Karban Shlamim outside the Temple Mount, outside the area of the Azar, before the gates of the Heichal open, he'll be exempt for the Isser of Shechut Echutz. My time, why? Because Mechusa Psichik and Mechusa Maisa Dami, lacking the opening of the gates of the Heichal, are essentially Mechusa Maisa in the animal itself. And that is, as we said, although that's not actual Maisa in the actual Karban Shlamim itself, but since it's halacha that pertains to it, to its definition, so therefore that is like a maisa in the guf of the animal. And that was the chiddush we saw by Rav Chisda, that he said that this halacha of hagrola, a lottery, what does it have to do with me as an animal? We're the same, the animal is the same as it's going to be before the lottery afterwards, but since it's halacha that pertains to it, it defines its viability, so therefore, but not in time, but actually in process, so therefore we say that that's k'mechus a maisa dami, and therefore you're not going to be chayav for shechut echutz. So therefore, Ravina wants to say this something would apply based on this chiddush of the halacha of Shmuel, where if one does it before the heichal is open, again, that's not in time. In time, we would say, yes, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. However, since it's something in the one of the components of the process of the halacha of a karban shlamim, it has to have the gates open. If it's closed, it's not considered viable inside, and it's like mechusa maisam, and therefore, even if one does it outside, one is going to be exempt, similar to Rav Chizda's Chiddush, that if it's being done outside, but it's Mechusa Maisa Dami, and therefore we consider it not viable inside, one will be Potter for the halachas of Shchut Dei Chutz.